So what is the concern about DHS's role as a regulator?
I think there's a couple of concerns out there, and it's something that you haven't heard a lot about, except for a letter from Senator John McCain earlier this year. I'll get to that in a second. But basically, DHS is not a traditional regulatory body like the Security and Exchange Commission or FERC or even NERC. So having them do regulations is a bit outside the normal job. Steve Bucci is a research fellow for Defense and Homeland Security at the Heritage Foundation. Bucci says history is not on DHS's side.
In the past, look at CFATS, somebody that's a chemical facility regime, they haven't really done that well. And that one is a heck of a lot more static than cyber would ever be. So you're talking about taking a traditionally non-regulatory bunch of agencies together in one group and giving them what would probably be the most difficult and complex regulatory problem to deal with that anyone has ever imagined. It's just not a good fit. I don't know if anybody in the government can adequately regulate cyber, but surely not DHS.
The second reason is a combination of capability and workforce. Now, Bucci says there's an ongoing question about whether DHS has the right skills and enough expertise in their workforce to take on this additional role. Again, if you remember, Senator John McCain wrote a letter in March to General Keith Alexander, the head of the U.S. Cyber Command and the National Security Agency, asking if NSA was actually the right place for this regulatory and oversight role and not DHS. Now, at the time, General Keith Alexander, and I still imagine now, said, no, DHS is the better role. There's a lot of laws and issues of why NSA and DOD cannot be involved in civilian oversight this way. Now, Jim Lewis is a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He says McCain's concerns actually are spreading.
But it was not a partisan question. Everyone tended to ask that. It's not fair. I think DHS is tremendously stronger and could do the mission, but that was the question you got repeatedly on the Hill.
Give me a sense of what do you think their concerns were?
Part of it was the track record in the first few years of DHS's existence. People looked at that and remembered all the turmoil in the first term of DHS, that still lingers and it's a concern. People looked at the 600 unfilled positions and the recruitment difficulties, and people looked at what DHS has done so far in terms of organization. Now, it's worth pointing out that in the last year, they've really improved their personnel, they've reorganized, they've done the things they need to do. So maybe the next time the bill comes around, we won't be getting these questions.
Now, Heritage Bucci agrees that DHS has come a long way since those mid to early 2000s. Thousands around cyber. Remember, this was the time when Congressman Benny Thompson called then DHS CIO Scott Charbonneau the Michael Brown of cyber, referring to the former FEMA director who didn't fare so well during Hurricane Katrina.
Ooh, that's a tough one. So what is DHS doing to continue to rehabilitate its cyber image, Jason?
Yeah, I think there's several things going on, and really since Congress has established it in 2003, it's been really moving this uphill. Last few years, the focus has really been on cyber, and it's been around money and resources. Secretary Janet Napolitano says DHS has increased its cyber workforce by 600% over the last few years, and there's a need to hire hundreds of more cyber experts.
We're hiring. We need cybersecurity folks, we need analysts, we need IT specialists, we need people who are familiar with code and coding, I mean the whole panoply of things. Now, one of the problems we have is that we are a government agency, and so we have to follow the rules on that. What legislation can do is for us is do what the NSA has, and that's an exception on pay and some of the normal rules that apply in hiring, make it easier and make it more competitive for us to be in this highly competitive field.
Now, Napolitano, Lewis, Bucci, and others spoke yesterday at a cyber event hosted by the Washington Post Live in Washington. Now, yesterday was the very end of Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and that's where this event fit in. Now, while DHS waits to see what Congress does, it's also trying to address its recruitment in other ways. Just last month, it kicked off the Secretarial Honors Program. Now, DHS started accepting applications October 24th across six areas, including IT, policy, management, emergency management, attorneys, and, of course, cyber. Now, in the Cyber Fellows Program, DHS is looking for recent college graduates to enter a two-year program to develop their technical skills. Now, we have a link to that program's website on federalnewsradio.com to make it easy for people to find. Then Napolitano also says the White House requested more and more money for cyber year after year. So they're addressing their workforce. Now they're addressing also their funding issues. DHS was one of the few agencies to see actually a bump in their funding when Congress passed their continuing resolution in September. They got about $180 million for continuous monitoring. Napolitano says DHS also is trying to change its image around cyber in how it acts. It responds and it coordinates during attacks or threats.
We look and act like a cyber FEMA, whereby resources at all levels are coordinated and deployed and can be deployed nationally, with DHS serving as the hub of a very, very large wheel. We regularly host exercises gauging our responses to realistic attack scenarios, and we put the National Cyber Incident Response Plan to continual testing.
Now, keep in mind, she was quick to point out that DHS is just one piece, really, of a three-pronged attack. The DHS, the FBI, NSA all respond to cyber threats and vulnerabilities in their own way. She says each agency is sharing information and people to ensure that they're taking that what they call the whole-of-government approach. Napolitano also used the recent hurricane to make her point about the need for legislation and critical infrastructure cyber protections. She basically said to the audience, "Hey, look what Mother Nature did in New York to the utilities and electric grid and water system. Imagine the same thing from a hacker, but one, over a wider area, and two, during a time when nobody was ready for it. I mean, we all knew the hurricane was coming. Still didn't help, but a cyber attack can happen whenever versus a hurricane that you see building and traveling up the coast."
Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller. So tell us, what's the likelihood that this Senate bill that we've been talking about for months now is actually passed during a lame duck session?
It feels like months. It's probably been years. I mean, the Senate bill's been something that's been on the top of conversation for a long time. It seems fairly certain that it's going to at least be brought up. Whether it gets passed, that's a much different story. For the first time, I heard the election actually play a role in cyber. What they said yesterday at this event was that if the president wins, or if he loses, different things will happen, obviously. Now, if he wins, the bill will likely get brought up and potentially even get passed. If he loses, it may get brought up, but the likelihood of it getting passed is in highly doubt. Now, Jeff Ratner is a counsel and senior advisor for cyber for the majority in the Homeland Security Governmental Affairs Committee in the Senate side. He says Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid announced recently the cyber bill will be brought up to the floor again.
As much policy as there is, there's also politics. And you have to kind of see what the new landscape is. But I think there are people who think that we should bring up our bill again and to try another crack at it. I will say that we lost 53-46 with five Democrats who voted against, and post-election, things change, and some of their concerns may be addressed. It will be a lot closer.
Now, Ratner says he believes the administration will issue the executive order if the bill doesn't get passed, but there are things Congress must address, such as liability protections and the way DHS hires cyber workers. In fact, those were the two areas when Secretary Napolitano was asked during the event yesterday, what about the bill is important, she brought up those two things, which I think was fascinating. Actually, she actually brought up the fact that DHS needs this additional authorities to hire cyber workers of all the things in the bill. Now, CSIS's Lewis says Congress today could pass the information sharing pieces of the bill. There's the Rogers-Ruppersberger version in the House, and the section in the Senate bill could actually be broken out. And he believes there's a widespread acceptance, approval of that piece of the bill. Also, the Federal Information Security Management Act updates, cyber education pieces also have widespread support, though there's some disagreement, again, over the role of DHS around FISMA, but I think that's something that's minor and could be worked out versus what's happening with the critical infrastructure and DHS as a regulatory body, which is much more complicated.
Sounds like one big cyber Sandy could move everything along in a hurry, couldn't it?
Well, I think that's part of what DHS was trying to do. I mean, Napolitano said they held more than 100 briefings over the last 18 months, trying to get people to understand not just the threat, but what would happen if an attack happened, like a cyber Sandy.